It was cool, that rain we had yesterday, because we weren't supposed to have any. I find it quite amazing that God's 100% right on His weather. Weather forecasters, those are pretty much the only people who can be 90% wrong all the time and keep their job, right? So here's what's really interesting to me. Believe it or not, I started this thing on justification, sanctification, glorification. Today is week 17. I'll probably finish next week, which will make it 18. But here's what's interesting to me. We've gone through the fruits of the Spirit. Remember, I skipped love on purpose. And here's the irony. Today marks the 27th year of Gay and I being at the church. I say that. It was actually August the 23rd, and this is the 27th. So anyway, somewhere near that. And the very first message I preached to this church congregation, I entitled it, What's Really Important? And one of the first things I said to the church congregation is, if I had one message that I could preach to the world, this would be it. And that was 27 years ago, and I'm going to kind of stay on point with it. What I did was I took the skeleton of it. What I mean by that is just the bullet points. It's amazing what you learn in Christianity in through 27 years of trying to serve and love God and understand the love of God. And again, we've talked about all the different fruits of the Spirit. But that first sermon, it was entitled, What's Really Important, August the 23rd of 1992. Who was not born yet? Anybody in here not born yet? Okay, there you go. 99. And then we have some liars in the back. That's good. It's good. They haven't learned anything after all these years. I get it. All right. Yeah. So here's what I want us to see today. This is hopefully, as I actually read through those notes of my first time here. And back then I was 38 years old. And I guess I thought I knew stuff. It's just funny how your life grows. God's kind of put some meat on the bone of this thing called love. And to be really honest with you, that's through experience stuff too, by the way. You know, when I got here, I had three children, not two. When we got here, you know what I'm saying? Things, life hits us and happens to us, and through incorporated in all of that is a pretty cool thing. But this love fruit is similar to the self-control. Remember I told you last week, the words, when Paul wrote it, it wasn't an accident, the order. Love and then self-control, and they kind of sandwich everything in between, joy, peace, long-suffering, all that. It's all sandwiched in between because the truth is, if you don't have love, none of these other fruits will happen, and if you don't have self-control, none of those fruits will happen. You get it. So it's kind of sandwiched in between. But here's what I recognize this week. Love is the catalyst to all of this, all of the Holy Spirit fruit, though it is a fruit. And the word's very clear that God is love. The word doesn't say God is patient. I mean, it says he is patient, but not his being. His being is love. That's who he is. But love is a catalyst. I actually looked up the word catalyst, and it's pretty interesting. It means a substance that increases the rate of chemical reaction without itself undergoing any permanent chemical change. In other words, a catalyst is something that stimulates other things, but it remains the same. I just think that's pretty cool. So love stimulates joy and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness and gentleness and even self-control. So that message I first spoke on was out of what everybody knows as the love chapter. And I had a professor years ago that said these words, and it has stuck with me, obviously, forever. He says, when the Bible screams it, scream it. And when the Bible speaks softly, speak softly. But if the Bible doesn't say anything, shut up. And the Bible screams about love. From cover to cover, it screams about love. And God gave us this 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that we all know as the love chapter. But I want to tell you something extremely important today. This is the essence of who we are to be. This is the absolute only thing that's important for us to be. This will absolutely shut down totally and completely sin in your life. Totally and completely. You know, the Bible tells us in other parts of the scripture, you know, that when Christ did what he did on the cross, that that sin was eradicated, and we no longer sin. But then we battle with this thing we call sin. Let me tell you, if you'll grasp this today, I spend a lot of time on this, and you would think over the years, because I do teach a lot about love and stuff, and you know, people might get sick, but I don't care. I don't care, because the gospel is love. The euangelion is the Greek word for that, and it's the good news of Jesus. And the good news of Jesus is he died for you, and he loves you, and that love is to be so far incorporated in you that it's to leak out to other folks. That really is the essence of who we are to be. It's got nothing to do with how smart we are. You get it? So this whole background, let me give you a little background on this love chapter, and then I'm going to walk through it. And I vetted this whole thing. I spent 3 solid days vetting this whole thing out, and I know Mickey's smiling because Mickey loves that one. She's so fun. But this 1 Corinthians, just an FYI, there's 16 characteristics, but it doesn't matter if there's 100. The bottom line is, this is the essence of who we, if God is love and we're to be like God, then we're to be love. All right? So I talked several weeks back when we were talking on this subject about the ambrosia salad, you know, that fruit salad that's all mixed up with whipped cream and stuff, and that love is kind of like the whipped cream of that kind of holds it all together. But here's what I want you to see. I want to give you back. Paul was talking to the Corinthian church when he wrote this, and he had confronted them about division. He had confronted them about thinking they're all that in a bag of chips in their knowledge. He confronted them about sexual sin. He confronted them about spiritual pride. He confronted them about lawsuits and marriage and offense and idolatry and wacky church services and doing communion right and the desire everybody has for spiritual gifts. He was nailing these folks about all the stuff that all of humankind struggle with. But in the midst of it, in the very midst of it, he kind of stopped and said, but I got something that's the most important thing. Here's a scripture that's right prior to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But earnestly, Paul says, desire those greater gifts, sure. But I'm going to show you right now a more hooper, that's hooper, it is hyperbole in our language, but it's hooperbole. I'm going to show you a more excellent, a superior and beyond measure excellent. And the word was used twice, so he's trying to make a point. I'm going to show you the road to travel. I'm not going to show you the road. I'm going to show you the road to travel. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He said, I'm going to show you. And then he jumped straight into the love chapter. Now, here was my first bullet point on August the 23rd of 1992, the year of our Lord. The importance of love was what I had on my little time. The importance of love. We're fixing to walk through the scripture right here, ladies and gentlemen. Let's do this. Chapter 13, 1 Corinthians, by the way, if you're wondering. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I don't love, I've become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Here it is vetted. If I talk with human beings and angels of God, but don't have his love for all people, if you really study out the word agape, it boils down to that right there, his love for all people. It's incorporated in every part, every little niche and cranny of the word love. It's always about his love for his people. So that's how this translates. Let me start over. If I talk with human beings and angels of God, but don't have his love for all people, over a period of time, I've been made into a loud roar of self-confidence and scream with uncontrollable passion. I have no substance. I'm just noisy clatter. Is that me? Okay, next scripture. I'm telling you, we're just going to walk through this and then y'all can go eat somewhere. If I have the gift of prophecy, he said, and I know all mysteries and all knowledge, and I'm all that, and a bag of chips, and I'm smart. He's kind of referring back to when he was giving them instructions about how arrogant they'd become in their knowledge. And I know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so I can move a mountain, but I don't have love, I am nothing. Here it is vetted. If I speak for God, know all about God, and completely believe God with physical proof, but don't have His love for all people, I am no one. I am nothing. Next. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. If I sell all my stuff and use the money to feed the poorest of the poor, and if I hand over my body to be martyred and consumed by fire, but don't have His love for all people, I have no assistance or benefits from it. I am no one. I am nothing. Let's stay there for a second. So that's, what was my bullet point on that? Let's remember the importance of love. This is the importance of love concerning me as a person, not concerning anybody else yet. You get it? This is all about me and who I think I am and how I think I am and how I think life should be. There's no opinion in this, in the Word. So the importance of love in this case for me, it's important for me to recognize who I am. Right? So then my next bullet point was from the importance of love to the practical side of love. Practice. The practical side of love. What does practical mean? It means the day, the in and out, the days, it's putting what we believe and our heart, it's putting it into our feet. Isn't it amazing to you that in Ephesians chapter 6, it says to put on the breastplate of righteousness, right? And have your feet shod with what? The gospel of peace. Not peace, the gospel of peace. The gospel is everything about Jesus and nothing about me. So that's the practical side. And again, this is not what I said 27 years ago. This is the practical side of Jesus is the feet of Jesus, the walking out of Him. And so that's what this is. So we just continue on in this scripture, and like I said, then we'll be done. So love is patient. Okay, wait, we've already did. Yes, we did. By the way, it's the same Greek word as when we talked about patience in Galatians. Same Greek word. So love's incorporated with patience. You see what I'm saying? You got love at the beginning, self-control at the end, and everything is all mixed into this wonderful salad of this thing called the fruits of the Spirit. So love is patient. Love's kind. Same Greek word as we did kindness. And it's not jealous. Love doesn't brag, and it's not arrogant. Here it is vetted. His love for all people is slow to retaliate when done wrong. It's compassionate, giving, and kind. His love for all people does not boil over with envy, hatred, or anger. Let's stay there for a second. His love for all people does not embellish the truth to display self-importance and refuses to inflate self-value to others. Let's read it all again. His love for all people is slow to retaliate when done wrong, is compassionate, giving, and kind. His love for all people does not boil over with envy, hatred, and anger. His love for all people does not embellish the truth to display self-importance and refuses to inflate self-value to others. Next. His love does not act unbecomingly. Great word that none of us in the English language hardly use anymore, right? It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. His love for all people isn't inappropriate or indecent with others. It doesn't bully. It doesn't crave or demand its own way. It doesn't burn with anger. It does not meditate on a vicious wrong suffered. His love for all people. His love for all people. His love for all people is to be our love for all people, and the only way we're going to get that is through the growth of the Holy Spirit in us, creating this to be part of who we really are in an ongoing basis. Here's what's so ironic to me. Some of you are probably sitting here wishing I would just hammer about sin today. Right? Come on, man, just talk about smoking and drinking so I can feel bad and go home and have a beer. See, because that's how we've been taught to think. This is life change right here. This ain't playing right here. This is how you're going to really affect those around you. Whether that's your kids, your spouse, your people at work, this is how it's going to happen. Some of us, we're going to get beyond our spouses. I just loving my wife, but honoring her. That only happens because of love. That really only happens because of love. So the next part is, don't rejoice. This is just weird, is it not? Don't rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoice with the truth. By the way, two different words in the Greek language for rejoice in unrighteousness and for rejoice with the truth. Two different words. Let's go to it. His love for all people doesn't gladly welcome evil doing and offense. What does that mean? I don't welcome, how many times have I told you recently that you can't offend me? Because you really can't. I'm done being offended. Because I find my value in the justification of what Christ did for me on the cross and how he values me, and I can stay there. So I will not gladly welcome offense. Because most people like to be offended so that they can tell their friends they were offended. Amen. Meantime, the fish swim by. People who are devastated and hurting in life, people who are ready to commit suicide. These people are out there right in front of us, and we're busy worrying about being offended. So his love for all people doesn't gladly welcome evil doing and offense, but it takes part in the joy of Christ's redemptive work. It takes part in the joy of knowing what Christ did for us on the cross. And that joy is not just for me. That joy of what Christ did on the cross is for other people. But let's be really honest. There's some people we don't want them to know the joy of this God that we love and serve. These are the practical side of what our life really should be. Let's go to the next one. Next verse. Second verse. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. His love for all people covers and protects any and all faults of others. Come on, preacher, get back to sin. Well, let's be honest, this really, you know, there's a scripture that always was quoted out of context. If to you it's sin, it's sin. Well, this is the rubber meets the road, ladies and gentlemen. His love for all people covers and protects any and all. That word there, any and all, I said that because it's the word P-A-S, pause. And it literally means each and every individual, okay? So each and every, so that way you can't skirt around it. You know, when somebody says all, sometimes it's just kind of a lazy word. No, each and every individual. So think of each and every individual, because what happens is we'll fault some and we won't fault others because we like them better than the other, right? So his love for all people covers and protects any and all faults of others. It examines and looks for the best in everyone. His love for all people has full confidence in everything concerning salvation and presses through each and every ordeal, affliction, hardship, circumstance, situation, all those words would fit there. That's what his love for all people does. That's believes all things, bears all things, hopes all things. There it is, on paper, in the United States of America way, so you can understand. And it's not so you can understand where you fail. It's for, so you can understand where you can grow. I'm telling you the truth, and this is what I love about this truth. it will totally and completely set you free. It will totally and completely set you free. And you will not sin. I've said it a million times recently, because you won't have time. You won't have time to just do stupid stuff because you'd be so focused on wanting to love, in love with a strange word in our language, love other people. Here's the next verse, I think. Where am I at? Wait a second. Back up. I got to find me. So that was, the first one was, well, see, I don't even remember. The first one was what? Oh, no, I'm talking about my bullet point. See, nobody knows. They all ain't listening to me. It's all right. I'm over it. The first bullet point was the importance of love. We did that. The second one was the practical side of love. And so now this, we're moving into here, which is what I, back then, because you know back then, when you're a young preacher, you try to line it up with the P's. So now I'd somehow missed the importance, but this P is the permanence of love, the solidity of love, the fact that love is from the beginning of forever to forever and ever, from when the Word says that God started long before the foundation of the world and that it's forever. That's the permanence of love, because love has always been, love will always be. That's permanence. I think it's funny because I would never do that nowadays, but I did it. So here's what it says in what we normally have read. I think I'm doing something here. Love never fails. But if there's gifts of prophecy, they'll be done away. If there are tongues, they'll cease. If there's knowledge, it'll be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. But when I became a man, this is Paul speaking, I did away with childish things. He says, for now I see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. So now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now faith, hope, and love abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. His love for all people never ceases. But if there are divine gifts of inspiration declaring God's purposes, they will be deactivated. If there are languages of the nations, they will end. And if there is superior intelligence, it will be rendered inoperative. For we perceive and understand just a little bit, and we speak forth divine inspiration just a little bit. But as soon as the completed, perfect one arrives, our little bit allotment will be eliminated. Because when I was an infant, I used to utter sounds like an infant, understand and discern like an infant, study and comprehend like an infant. But when I matured into manhood, I stopped doing infantile things. And at this moment, we see in a blurred mirror a mystery of things to come. But at that time, we will see face to face. But at this moment, I understand a little bit, but when that moment arrives, I'll thoroughly understand to the same degree that I have been thoroughly understood. But for now, these three, trust in Christ, confidence in His salvation, and His love for all people, remain and endure forever. But the most righteous and powerful of these is the excellence of His love for all people. Well. Here's the truth. You can't have this, His love for all people, if you have not received His love for you. And when I say receive it, believe it, doubt it, do without it. Receive this love. And you won't believe, you'll never walk into this type of honest sanctification, because this is what sanctification is, ladies and gentlemen. We'll tie it all together next week. But this is what sanctification is. It's not about, well, I'll get there. I got a little bit here, a little taste here for you. So we can't we can't have His love for all people if we haven't received His love for us. And you'll never receive His love for you if you think that you've got to somehow earn it. It's not going to happen. My children never had to earn Dad's love, ever, and they never will. I just love them. Do they do stupid things? A lot. Really a lot. And yeah, they're in my mind, there's probably some payback in there. I get it, because I wasn't the best son to my parents either. So that doesn't change this fact. And we're going to talk, I'm talking facts today, not opinion. I'm telling you the truth. I really want to see people's lives, honest to goodness, change. And the only way that's going to happen is through understanding that sanctification isn't about your do's and don'ts. It's about who you are in Christ. Remember, justification is me in Christ, right? Me in Christ, everything that He's done for me, I'm perfectly, totally perfect in Him. Then sanctification is the Christ in me. The Christ in me has nothing to do with do's and don'ts. The Christ in me has all to do with my sanctification lies at the feet of Christ. And it's powerful. Let me stay right here. The reason I said you won't have love for all people if you don't receive His love is because we can't give something we haven't received. If I really don't believe that Christ did everything for me on the cross and I somehow have got to do something, then that's the way I'm going to love other people. In other words, I will have some kind of agenda for other. I will love you if. There is no I will love you if with Christ. Yes, there's dumb people walk away. I get that. It doesn't change His love for folks. It changed. I get that. But it doesn't change His love. Same with our own kids, guys, and we're not nowhere near God in what His love is. I don't care if my kids are living in India. I'm going to love them. I don't care if they just are on death row. I'm going to love them all the way to when they put the drip in their arm. I get it. Well, it doesn't change my love. So we can't give what we have. If we honestly believe that there's something, when we're in Christ, there is something that we have to do extra, then that kind of love is what we're going to give to other people, that they've got to do something extra. Yeah. It just doesn't work that way. So, here's my conclusion. There's 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, all sandwiched between love and self-control. I said that. But here's what I want you to see, and I want it to be extremely clear today. Sin is conquered by the Holy Spirit fruit in our lives, not by the law. It is conquered. Sin is completely and totally conquered when we allow the fruits of the Spirit to overtake it. And as those fruits are growing in us, I'm not saying we're going to get there. We won't ever get there to be perfect. I get it. Christ is the only perfect one. But as we allow how many times have I told you, man? You either focus on Christ, I'm either Jesus conscious or sin conscious. It's the same thing in this thing called sanctification. I'm either focused on what I want or I'm focused on what others need from me. There's really no in between. So I'm going to say it again. Sin is conquered by the Holy Spirit, fruit in us, not by the law. Here's Scripture, because we love the Word, right? Paul said, obviously, the law applies to those who it was given, because the argument was, because Paul so attacked in other people's thoughts, he attacked the law. You get it. Because, I'm sure they would even quote Jesus, where I didn't come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill it. I'm sure that people quoted all kinds of cool stuff. So every time he would talk about Christ taking care of absolutely everything on the cross, there was always those that say, oh, well, that means I can just go out and sin. But watch this. So he says, obviously, the law applies to those whom it was given. For its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. Well, now, wait a minute, Steve. You said I don't have to do anything. You don't. You are absolutely, totally, and completely guilty. You are a junk piece of junk. The Word says you filthy rags. It's what it says. It's true, because outside of Him, we are nothing. But inside of him, we are everything. And I mean everything. The word says, and I've said it a billion times, God has declared me righteous, not because of me. I can't do it. But because of what Christ did. When you believe that, you're going to really receive that kind of love. Somebody that loves you that stupid to love you really right where you're at? Absolutely. So watch this. So its purpose was to quit giving us excuses. Verse 20, for no one can ever, 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 ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. It's the truth. I've used the illustration a billion times. Me and Johnny's walking down the street, and there's 10 glass houses, and we're having a great conversation. We get to that last glass house, and there's a big old sign up the law that says, do not throw rocks at this house, or you will go to prison. And Johnny will say, well, I've already been anyway, so I can go back. Look what that says. It shows us how sinful we are. What does that mean? The second we see the law, there's both me and you want a rock. I'm going to find a bigger rock than you to prove to you. It just shows me how ugly I am. That's what the law does. That's what it's for. That's what it's for. And by the way, I want to go to another scripture because we're going to stay on that same point just for one little second here. Well then, Paul says, am I suggesting that the law of God is sinful? Of course not. It was the law that showed me my sin, he said. I would never have known that coveting is wrong if the law had not said, you must not covet. But sin used this command to arouse all kinds of covetedness in me. Thou shalt not lust. Okay, well, there that goes. Stirring it up, baby. You're right. You must not covet. Watch this. This is very important. But sin used this command to arouse all kinds of covetous desires within me. This is important. If there were no law, sin would not have that power. Pay attention to me. All these fruits of the Spirit. At the end of where we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit, what does it say? I don't even think I might have even printed that out. Here's what it says exactly. It's all the Holy Spirit's love, joy, peace, blah, blah, blah. At the end of it says, and there is no law against these things. The law gives sin its power. So if I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to move, I'm telling you, the power of sin will be broken as you stay in the vine and let him grow in you. Wow. So much truth, so little time to get it done, right? I wrote a little ditty. Here's my little ditty I wrote, and then I'm almost done here. If you dwell in the do not do's, and you will continue to sin, trying to live right in your own strength. If you dwell in Christ, justification in Christ, what does he say? You can't have any fruit outside of the vine. Stay in me. John chapter 15, read it yourself. Talks about the vine and we're the branches, and stay in him. Dwell in Christ, justification in the vine, and allow the Holy Spirit fruit growth, which is sanctification. That's the Christ in me producing edible fruit. You won't have time to sin. And the power of sin loses its control. Because truly greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. And I close with, I put the whole thing together so we could read it in context. Chapter 13, right here it is, ladies and gentlemen, of 1 Corinthians. If I talk with human beings and angels of God, but don't have his love for all people, over a period of time I've been made into a loud roar of self-confidence and scream with uncontrollable passion. I have no substance, don't care how pretty you are, just noisy clatter. If I speak for God and know all about God and completely believe God with physical proof and don't have his love for all people, I'm no one. I'm nothing. If I sell all my back up, thank you. If I sell all my stuff and use the money to feed the poorest of poor, and if I hand over my body to be martyred and consumed by fire but don't have his love for all people, I have no assistance or benefits from it. I am no one, I am nothing. And here's the meat of it coming up right here. His love for all people is slow to retaliate when done wrong, is compassionate, giving, and kind. His love for all people doesn't boil over with envy and hatred and anger. His love for all people doesn't embellish the truth to display self-importance and refuse to inflate self-value to others. His love for all people isn't inappropriate or indecent with others. And notice it's all about others. It doesn't crave or demand its own way. It doesn't burn with anger. It doesn't meditate on a vicious wrong that has been suffered. His love for all people does not gladly welcome evil and offense, but takes part in the joy of Christ's redemptive work. His love for all people covers and protects any and all faults of others, examines and looks for the best in everyone, has full confidence in everything concerning salvation, and presses through each and every ordeal, affliction, and hardship. His love for all people never ceases. But if there are divine gifts of inspiration declaring God's purposes, they will be deactivated. If there are languages of the nations, they will end. If there is superior intelligence, it will be rendered inoperative. For we perceive and understand a little bit, and we speak forth divine inspiration just a little bit, but as soon as the completed perfect one arrives, our little bit of allotment will be eliminated. And when I was an infant, I used to utter sounds like an infant, understand and discern like an infant, not much there, huh? Study and comprehend like an infant. But when I matured into manhood, I stopped doing those infantile things. And lastly, here it is. And at this moment, we see in a blurred mirror a mystery of things to come. But at that time, we will see face to face. But at this moment, I understand a little bit, but when that moment arrives, I'll thoroughly understand to the same degree that I've been thoroughly understood by Christ, is what that's talking about. Verse 13, here we are. This is where we are right now. But for now, these three, trust in Christ, confidence in His salvation, and His love for all people, remain and endure forever. But the most important, most powerful, and most righteous of these is the excellence of His love for all people. Wow. I can't do it. You're right, you can't, but the Holy Spirit can grow it in you. Process is a process.
Have you ever had people who know you're a Christian, and because you're a Christian, they try to bully you that you need to love them because you're a Christian? You ever had that happen? Well, if you were really a Christian, you know, doesn't the Bible say to believe all things and hope all things? You aren't loving me the right way. I want to share something with you. You can't answer to other people for how you love. You can only answer to God. Because people will put conditions on love out of motives that God does not have. So as long as I know that I'm loving people the way that God intended me to love, I have to be confident in that. And what happens is the world wants you to look at and be judged by how they say you should love. And that's okay. But if you say how you should be loved according to the Bible, people will fault find you and call you a hater. But I want to tell you something. I'm not going to answer to those people when I get to heaven. I'm going to answer to God. And if I'm answering to God, I'm going to treat you better than I'll treat myself. If I answer to God, I'm going to love you better than you could demand that I love you. If I'm doing what I do because I love God, I will walk in such a place of gratitude for who He is that it won't matter to me. Please hear me. Are you saying you're above feeling? No, I'm saying at the end of my feeling, I have to come to something that's real, that is an anchor to me. That doesn't mean that I don't go home and cry because somebody said something about me in a way that was not true, and that they share it. What it means is that I go home and I cry, And remember, Jesus plus anything equals victory. My trials lead me to the lap of Jesus Christ because I know he loves me. And I know he doesn't have a hidden motive. And I know he doesn't have a hidden agenda. And I'm going to give you a little secret. You need to start a gratitude journal. I'm serious about it. You need to start a gratitude journal. And you need to keep it with you. And here's why. Because when somebody fries you good, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. They just judge you. Well, if you're going to try to live like the Bible, you're supposed to do this and you're supposed to, here's what you do. You take out your gratitude journal and you say, God, I want to thank you that you've allowed me today to know just a little bit of what Jesus went through in a way where I can say, you are love. God, I want to thank you that I still have the ability to understand what they said, that I don't have dementia, that I don't have these things. God, I want to thank you right now that you're going to work in me. God, I want to thank you that you're going to give me the ability to love beyond what I ever thought I could love, and that that person will be one for you. And by the time you've turned your pain into gratitude, you're going to be able to walk out and smile at the same person who was hurting you. It's the truth. So for those of you who doubt it, I want you to read Romans 3:25-28. And you're going to see that it's the love of God that's going to get us through. Because what the devil will do is first he'll come to you and get you to hate you. Because remember, we can only give what we have. So if he gets me to hate me and gets me to get in agreement with everything I've done wrong, what will I do to the next person? But if I can come into the Spirit of God and say, God, I need you to cleanse these thoughts for me. And I want you to know, God, that I'm grateful that you made a provision for me. God, I want you to know that I'm grateful that I don't have to live in hate, that I don't have to be mad at other people. God, I want you to know that I can be set free. I'm so glad, God, that you can set me free from this poison that's trying to come into my body. Lord, I want to thank you that you're going to heal me and set me free. When you leave your gratitude place, you can love other people because why? You let God love on you first. So I want to encourage you today. Don't look for the reason to hate. Hate is a toxic poison. Look for the reason to love. Let God love you first. And let God love you last. Because what's in between is going to be this. There'll be truth. The Spirit of God will speak to people and wake them up about deceptions. The Spirit of God will wake us up and go, you know what? Guys, I want to tell you, Steve hit on it with our kids. I don't care how old they are, there's a place in you. I do not get into my adult children's business except with God. You hearing me? You can't pay them out of it. You can't talk them out of it. You can't work them out of it. If they've decided to go away, the best thing we can do is pray. Because God, the Holy Spirit, goes in and he protects them from evil. My words will often drive them right to it. Okay? Just because that's the sign on the house, the glass house. But I mean this with all my heart. When I go in and love my kids in prayer, I can say to God, Lord, this is killing me, God, because I love them. I don't want to see them involved in this. And he will say, you need to say this. Oh, God, don't make me say that because they're not going to like me anymore. Okay? Is it more important that they love you or that they love me? You. Please hear me today. This works with a spouse. This works with children. This works with an employer. This works with an employee. This works with a neighbor. And here's the phrase. I got to get over me to get to Jesus. That's your biggest obstacle is you. That's my biggest obstacle is me. God, help me today to lay down my rights to be right. Help me to lay down my opinion of how somebody else needs to love me. Because I can tell you how other people need to love me. But I need to know how God has loved me. That's how I love other people. I'm going to fail other people. I don't want to fail you, but I will. I don't want you to fail me, but you will. But if we have this common denominator that we have been forgiven by Jesus, we can lay aside those things and still join hands and say, it's more important that I love you than that I have all the answers. You want to stand with me today? I have three things I want to pray for today. One is, if you have never known love like that, if you always heard the gospel, but it was what you did or you didn't do, and today you're hearing the gospel that it's about what Jesus did and how he loves you, and you need that love desperate in your heart, that's for you today to make that decision. Man, once I make that decision, won't the devil come at me? Yeah, but this time you got God with you and not just you. The second thing I want to pray over today is for people who've known the love of God, but you've let the world's opinion change how you believe God is. And you've begun to see God in the light of the world and not the light of the Word. And the third group I want to pray for are believers, and you're discouraged. You're discouraged. Your heart is hurting. There is a loving Father who wants to heal you today. Whatever category you just fell in, I don't need to know. But you need to find him today. If that's you, I want you to come right down, right now. Why do I need to come down there? Because there's something in the relinquishing of our control, when we relinquish it to God, that brings that spirit in and shows that surrender. Whoever you are today, God wants to heal your broken heart. God wants to love on you because you are broken. God wants you to know peace because he can give it to you. God gave the children the same way we love our children. God gave his son. Gave him that we would know today peace and love and victory. He gave it. Anybody in this room, by a show of hands, you've already overcome some things because of the love of God. Would you raise your hand? And you at the altar, amen. I want to tell you something. He wasn't just faithful then. He's faithful now. And I want to say something to everybody in this room. He's not just going to be faithful today at this altar. He's going to be faithful to you tomorrow. He's going to be faithful to you by the time you get in that parking lot and you start questioning what you believed. He's still faithful. Be grateful for his faithfulness. And the enemy will flee, because wherever there's not peace, that's where the enemy's pouncing on you. And we're going to have the peace of God today. Amen. There are those of you in this room who know how to pray for people. I want you to come and join with someone who's at this altar and begin to believe together. God wants to heal our hearts, and he wants to heal other people. But I got to be healed first before I can lead others to him, the truth of who he is. Amen. I'm going to pray a simple prayer right now. Mike, if you'll lead us in a song when I'm done. But what I'd like to do right now is this. Father, I just thank you for the bravery and the courage in this room, God. Those who are at this altar, those who are not at this altar, but God, today, life-changing decisions are being made to set the mind free from torment. In the name of Jesus, we break off the power, the authority of all lies that have penetrated, God, the hearts of believers. We line ourselves with the truth, God, that you are the truth, you are the life, you are the way, God. We align ourselves with that. Today, God, I'm grateful that we're in a house, God, that we're in a house where love is felt. God, that we want the best. And Lord, we leave that decision up to you for what that looks like, because we want victory. Cleanse me from me and set me free, God. I pray that every accusation of the enemy becomes null and void today, not because of what I do, but because what you have done, Jesus Christ. You are my banner. Jesus Christ, you are my salvation. Jesus Christ, you are my help and my healer. Jesus Christ, you are today, tomorrow, and forever the same. And I receive the power of Jesus Christ in my life over my mind. The record stops playing today of what's wrong with me. And I hear the voice of what is right with you, oh God. In the name of Jesus, be set free. We're just going to take time and pray for one another. I encourage you to